Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
And now you're listening to Gamertag Radio episode 1019. This is your host, Danny, all the way live from New York City to the world. A couple days ago, we had a live reaction of the latest episode of Inside Xbox. We did that on Twitch. It was Paris, P, and I. And we had a great reaction video. It was really cool. We were there for a good 2 hours. So after the live stream of the Inside Xbox, we decided to do an after show. We were there for like an hour plus. And we started having a conversation about a couple of things that was going on at that moment. It was the PlayStation 5 controller that just came out right before or during the stream of Inside Xbox. And we started talking about different theories on what we might see. And then we had a conversation about everything about Xbox and PlayStation. I think it was a great conversation that we decided, like, man, we should just release it as an episode. So the audio quality is not the same as our usual episodes because this is straight from Twitch. So I want you to enjoy this and listen to the conversation. I think it was great. Really, really good. You know, we were having some debates, too, on what if Halo 4 would have launched with Xbox One back in 2013 instead of releasing it during the Xbox 360 days. And that was a great discussion, great debate. I hope you guys enjoy this. But first, head over to GamertagRadio.com, post your comments and feedback, listen to our past episodes. You can find us on any podcast app. Just for a search for Gamertag Radio, we're there. And if you would like to be part of our fan mail episode, because we need content, guys, we need content, so please send us your questions and comments or feedback to GTR, and this is how.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, before we go with our roundtable discussion that's going to be coming up now in a few minutes here, I would like to give a huge, huge shout out to the Spotify team. They added us as part of the COVID-19 guide that they just made. So when you go to that page, you will see a lot of podcasts about COVID, the news, about the economy. And when you scroll down in the gaming section, they added us and a couple of the podcasts like What's Good Games and other ones too. So it was really cool to see that because we're in a very, very, very difficult time right now worldwide, not just here in the United States. But it's good that we're providing content for people that just want to take some things out off their minds and something positive, something entertaining. And it's great to still creating content during this time. So we'd love to give a huge, huge shout out and a thank you to everybody that's been listening to us through there, to Spotify, and shout out to the team over there for doing this. I was not expecting at all. It was a huge surprise for us, but it's cool to see that we're also part out there providing content for everybody, man. You know what I'm saying? So, all right, so we're going to play the roundtable, and we'll be right back after this.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
More stuff coming to Game Pass. It's fun.
Yeah, yeah. Give it 2 months, guys. 2 months. Two months, you're going to see a lot of goodies.
Now, since the three of us are here, I have to ask this question.
Yeah.
And I'll start with Pete, since I already know what you think a little bit, Danny. Mm-hmm. What did you think of the DualSense for the PlayStation 5, Pete?
I mean, it looks nice, right? The question now is, Corona briefing? No, I'm kidding.
That is like literally my must see every day TV. I watch it every day.
All right. So I'm curious what version of Bluetooth is going to be inside. If I'm not mistaken, did I read correctly? There's a built-in mic.
I think so. Yeah, I think you're right.
Oh, really?
Because people were because people were complaining. But continue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. I mean, from an aesthetics perspective, I'm not surprised that it looks nice and clean. I mean, this is what we expect from. This is exactly what we expect from Sony. And I think we just talked about it on the last show about how, you know, Sony's aesthetics, they wouldn't release something that looks, you know, hideous. So I'm not surprised. I like the color scheme. I know people are saying they don't like it. They'd much rather have it, you know, monotone. But I like the white black with the stripe of blue. And I caught the comment you made. Somebody, how am I expecting to hit things on, you know, looking like a stormtrooper or whatever? Yeah. But you know me, I'm a big fan of stormtroopers, so that's okay for yeah, that's okay with me. I kind of dig it. Will I be playing it? Highly unlikely unless I change direction and go get a console. But you know, I've gone all in on PC, so I do not know. If I'm going to go PC, I don't know if I'll ever go console again. So I don't know. But off of face value, just seeing what I saw, I liked it. I liked how it looks, and yeah. I think some of the features that it presents are worth it.
Yeah, I completely agree. What about you, Danny?
I tell you the truth, I've been sick for the past couple of days. I haven't really been reading the news much, but this is the first time hearing it. Tell you the truth.
Well, they just announced it. Like, of course, PlayStation put this out right before. Yeah, they put it out right before Inside Xbox.
Oh, really?
On purpose.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. That
okay.
was on purpose.
Hmm.
Okay.
Huh. Oh, well, you haven't seen it then yet. Well, I'll just say for me, yeah, I saw it immediately. I was like, oh, this thing is freaking clean, man. It immediately made me think of the Scuff Impact for the PlayStation 4. Yeah, it's sleek. I mean, it kind of takes some of the DualShock features, but then adds a different aesthetic to it. I mean, I just think, like they said, the haptic feedback that's coming with it, I'm down. I mean, look, can't keep just putting out the same shit over and over, right? You got to try something new. Yeah, this ain't the PlayStation 3 boomerang. It isn't something silly like that, but I mean, it's fine. And that's why I said the other thing you probably didn't see on Twitter was, I had said, of course, you know, the majority of people that I saw commenting were loving it. But then you got to have your freaking negative Nancys out there. Oh, it looks dumb. Oh, this dude. Oh, the fanboys. Just like, Jesus Christ. Can they just put the controller out? You haven't even touched it yet. You don't even know what it is. And you're already complaining about it. I'll never understand that. That's something I'll never understand, because it's like, look, it's next gen. They're doing something different. I like what Xbox did, too. I mean, yeah, it looks, their controller still looks like the Xbox One, but they've changed it, you know, a little bit. They've added the share button, things like that. So I'm interested to get my hands on both of them and check them out. You know what I mean? So, but yeah. To answer your thing, Pete, like you just said, I will eventually get a PlayStation 5. I know I will.
Right.
I don't know if I'll get one at launch, because I don't know if there's going to be games at launch that appeal to me. And that's really all it comes down to. The second the PlayStation has games that I want to play, let's put it this way. When Spider-Man 2 hits the PlayStation 5, guess who's getting a PlayStation 5? Me. Right? You see what I'm saying? So, of course, I'm going to get one as soon as the right games are, Horizon Zero Dawn 2, stuff like that. But maybe they have a new IP that comes out that we're not even, you know, we have no clue of that they're going to have at launch. We just don't know, because PlayStation hasn't talked about any of that stuff yet. I'll say this. Because I'm guessing this game is at launch. If there's a new Ratchet and Clank at launch, that alone might be enough for me to say, screw it and just get one. Maybe. Maybe.
I don't know if that's enough, but going back to the controller, I like,
yeah,
I like the way it looks. Like, it doesn't look like it's just straight lines. I like the outward bend on the outside handle, similar to the Xbox controller. So I think ergonomically, I think that'll be a little bit easier. I'm curious about the buttons. Are they flush mount with the surface of the controller, or do they raise up enough? Because, you know, after hours of mashing buttons, those things tend to get worn out. So I'm curious just how raised up, and the released images that they've put out haven't really covered that. They also mentioned they got rid of the share button and they swapped it. It's now called the create button.
Yep. Which, again, they're trying to innovate. They're trying something different. Right. Hey, screw it. Let's see. Right. Let's see how it works.
But going back to what you said about, you know, releasing a console with enough titles that would entice people to either A, you know, leave the PS4, or B, people who aren't current Sony you know, Sony ecosystem people to get them in. And the way you really do that outside of the hardware is through the catalog. The Last of Us will probably be, for most people, a system seller because they want to go into that. Spider-Man will probably be another one that's very, very close to probably forcing me to go back on my I'm not going to get a PS4 stance. But, I mean, outside of maybe another God of War title, which I don't think is going to be for a while, is there really another monster title that gets Paris out of the, you know, that gets Paris to start digging into his pocket, gets Danny start digging into his pocket, gets me digging into the pocket, looking at a new PlayStation 5 console?
And that's the thing.
Maybe Horizon Zero Dawn is probably right there too.
100% when Horizon Zero Dawn, but I don't think that's at launch. And I guess that's kind of my thing. I know their Rogues Gallery will have me get a PlayStation 5. I just don't know what of that Rogues Gallery is going to be available at launch. You know,
Uncharted will be the other one.
Yeah, and again, that ain't going to be at launch. God of War ain't going to be at launch. You know, like I said, Ratchet and Clank seems to me the one that could be. They could bring back Sly Cooper, maybe, something like that. I don't necessarily know if that's the game that would get me to go. Maybe they bring SOCOM back. I mean, there's a lot of things they could do. And then, like we said, with new IPs, you got to figure, look, PlayStation knows that Xbox will have Halo Infinite at launch. That is a huge AAA game. That is literally their flagship game that's going to be available there day one. Is that enough to convince someone that doesn't have an Xbox right now to want to go get an Xbox? I don't know. I really don't know. I think PlayStation is personally, they're fine. Because the 100+ million people that have PlayStation 4s, you now have that brand loyalty. You have that IP loyalty with them to say, well, you're damn right. If I got to choose, I'm just going to get a PlayStation 5 because I know what I'm going to get from their lineup. Xbox is in a position to where they got to freaking prove it. As much as, because like I said, tweeting about this today. I really liked what Xbox has done since 2016 to build up to this point. They're putting services ahead of hardware, but they're also saying our hardware is going to be the market leader as well. All that is great, but it don't mean anything if you don't have the games to go with it. Bottom line. Mm-hmm. And right now, the only game that we know they have that interests me is Halo Infinite. So the rest of it, you got to show me. Right. And me personally, I got a PC, so I got Game Pass. So, of course, I'm going to play. If there's games that they have, I'm already in Series X, knock on wood. Hopefully I get to review it. But if I don't, then I probably don't get a Series X right away. What's the point? I don't need it right away. You know, so we'll see. It'll be interesting.
Hey, I'm looking at the controller now for the first time. I don't see nothing wrong with it.
Like, ain't nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, I think it's cool. I mean, this is, trust me, much better than the disaster controller from, was it PlayStation 3? A long time ago, remember that? The boomerang?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, this is good. I don't see anything wrong with it. I like this design. It's cool.
No, the light bar sits on either side of the touchpad as well, and it's not on top of the controller. So it's a little more subtle. It's not as blatant.
Yeah. It's cool. People can't be too picky, man. Come on.
The more I look at it, the more I like it. And maybe that's because I just like to be counter to what the culture is, right? People hate it, so I'm gonna like it on purpose.
You know what? I'm glad that Sony is at least showing something, because they can't be too quiet for how long they're gonna be quiet, man. Like, people are amped, they want to know when they're gonna hear something about from Sony about the console, about the hardware. So it's good to release something, you know. So this is a good start, I think, because honestly, I'm not a tech guy. You guys love these specs, and I'm not that type of person. So that presentation they showed, didn't really care much about it. Same thing with like Xbox showing their specs. Like, I want to know more about the games,
yes,
services. That to me is more important as a fan of just games in general.
And that's all that should matter at the end of the day, right? Yeah. It should be about, what is my gameplay experience? What am I having fun? Again, all these goddamn teraflops and SSD speeds, none of that. Look, nine out of 10 people don't even know what that means. They don't. So who cares? All that stuff is marketing speak at the end of the day. All it really matters is, are you giving me something when I hit power on that console and it lights up on my TV and I pick up the controller, am I having fun? That's what should matter. And we say it all the time. You know who's mastered that and they don't give a two about a goddamn teraflop is freaking Nintendo.
At all.
Because guess what is happening outside this door right now on the big TV right now? These two kids are playing freaking Smash Brothers and Mario Tennis and Mario Kart and all that stuff. They ain't playing no Xbox or none of that. They're playing Nintendo. That's what they're doing during quarantine. That says it all because Nintendo has the games.
Yep. Yeah, it's like Animal Crossing. It sold in Japan within a week or two.
Yeah.
2.6 million, I think it is. Million copies. They're not promoting it like, oh, specs and power. Like, it's not. It's about the games, man, at the end of the day, man. You know what, all these teraflops and all this crap that we hear this from companies? You remember, guys, back in the 90s, we see that from Sega promoting it from the Sega Genesis, and I think Super Nintendo also was doing that. I think Sega Genesis, what they were promoting, what was it called, Paris? You remember the fast speed processor or something? I can't remember exactly. They were promoting Sonic. Look, it's super faster than Mario and all this stuff. Blast processor, I think it was called. I think it was
I have to Google it and try and find it. I know what you mean. Yeah, they were definitely trying to promote.
Yeah. So all those fanboys from back then, they were like, oh, but Genesis has this and Super Nintendo has Mode 7 and has this. What happened?
Oh, this is work.
The virtual processor?
No, it's not virtual processor. Blast processor.
That was for the Mega Drive.
No, they were doing that for from the original Sega Genesis because they were promoting Sonic. Like, oh, look how fast this game is, faster than Mario because of the blast processor. And it was BS marketing. Like, it didn't even exist. They just came up with that, you know?
So, Paris,
I'm just looking at people complaining on Twitter about the stupid controller. I'm not trying to say it's bad, but it looks like something GameStop would make. Wah, wah, wah.
Yeah, but I tell you this. Once they announce like one of their favorite games available for launch.
They'll be the first one in line.
One's there. Yeah, it's like,
come on. See, to me, that's why I laugh at all this stuff, because the hypocrisy of it all. Is like people love to yip on social media, but then you'll be the one, you know, with your tent and your freaking Mountain Dew camped out overnight at Best Buy trying to get it in November. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, get out of here with that. It's nonsense. Yeah. It's like, just games, dude.
People were doing the same thing with the Switch. Like, they were making fun of that. And it's like, it's like the Wii U and the Wii. And once they got to see, like, all these games coming out for the Switch and you play on the go and all this stuff, like, oh, everybody's like, oh, buying it in. Now it's okay. But at that time, right before the system came out, people were making fun of it too. It's like, oh, come on, man.
No, but I'm guilty. I was going to say, I'm guilty of that too. And that, ironically enough, the Switch is the one thing that made me kind of learn my lesson on that. Stop judging things until you actually have it in your hands to judge it for yourself, because you just don't know. Because people don't like change. People don't like things that look different. So I remember when the Switch came out, man, after the Wii U, man, ain't going to work. What are they doing? Yeah. Look how wrong I was. You know, I was completely wrong. I mean, the Switch is freaking revolutionary, and it added an element to gaming that I didn't even know I was missing, to where I can take AAA games with me wherever I go. You know, like I said, the sorcery that CD Projekt Red did to have the freaking Witcher 3 wherever I go. And now the fact I even could pull in my PC saves to it. Crazy, you know, and then obviously all the Nintendo library that goes with it. But that's the point. Don't judge a book until you actually read it, right? It's like, you know, people love to see, and I know I'm complaining right now, but I'm complaining about the complainers, because people love to complain about things that they don't understand. It's like, take 5 seconds and actually educate yourself on it before you write it off as being horrible when you've never used it yourself. It blows my mind. That's why I really try to not do that with any of these new systems, games. That's why I say with the PlayStation 5 and the Series X, people bitching and complaining about specs that they don't even understand. It's like, you don't know. Wait till the games are out. Then you judge it. You have no, I guarantee you, when they both launch in November, they're virtually going to be the same. You're not going to be able to tell the difference of nothing. They're going to be the same. It'll just come down to the games that you want to play. That's all it's going to come down to, as it should.
Yep. But here's the thing, though, man. Without competition, all these companies will become lazy, man. They won't innovate. But because Xbox has been under pressure,
Yep.
Because of all the things that happened during this generation. Look at all these things that came up already that already added into the services because competition helped that, man. When you're in second place and you try to be number one, you will go all out. You'll become hungry. That's why I'm like, I want Xbox to be second place the whole time, man, because you'll see all this stuff, man. Mm-hmm. Once they're in first place, they're super comfortable, man.
Very true.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, whatever, man. I could care less, man. And I just laugh when people are like, oh, but this company sold more and this and that. Look, when we were younger, and we were like really into like this whole console war stuff. Because, dude, we were like that during the Sega Genesis and Super Nintendo days, you know? Like, but at that time, that was the company's fault making us being that way. Now, a lot of them regret it because now it's like death threats and all this stuff now, you know? Like, but back then, I blame both companies, the American ones, not in Japan, but all the ones promoting that crap. And look, people are still taking it out to the next level with Xbox and PlayStation. It's like, oh my God, it's ridiculous, man. I don't know. I'm just having fun. I really could care less, man. If you're having fun with these games, at the end of the day, that's all that matters, man.
Yep, you know? That's all that should matter. Yep. So before we get out of here, I think that's all we got. Yeah. But overall, good inside Xbox, I thought. Nice little test run for them leading up to E3, you know, technically. Yeah. Seeing that they were basically doing this globally, you know, since they had people all over. And you pulled it off pretty good.
You know what I have to say, man? Again, like, I got to give it to them because I think we have never seen Xbox this open like this.
No, never.
Non-stop interviews from Phil, inside Xbox, them on social media, posting all kinds of stuff, being really open, doing interviews with other websites too, inviting all these media to Redmond to see the Series X and here, check it out, like, and talk to the team that worked on the hardware. Like, I have never seen Xbox this open, and it's really cool to see. And I just hope that, I really thought it was going to happen with Nintendo, but I want to see that with Sony and other companies just be open like this, man. Just create content for the journalists and content creators in different waves, man. Like, the way how they've been doing it now for the past few months has been, I think, amazing and exciting for what's coming in the future for them. I'm enjoying it, man. I'm enjoying the ride. Like, I love the Video Game Awards, showing Xbox Series X there, and interviews. Phil coming to our show. Phil did two interviews with IGN. Matt Booty doing interviews too, you know, like, and I don't know. It's really cool to see that, man. Really?
No,
cool.
It is. No, it is. It is. It's been very good to just see since the Game Awards, they've been literally just on this press tour. I mean, the fact that we know everything about the Series X at this point, to get that out of the way, so to speak, so that when we do get to June, they can just talk about all the games and stuff that are coming and the services is great. Yeah. I mean, knock on wood, hopefully PlayStation ramps theirs up now and they're just as transparent. Yep. That's the thing. Just we want to know. We don't need all these secrets. Just freaking tell us. Tell us. They put the price out there and let people judge for themselves what they want to buy. That's all that should matter.
Exactly. Look, this is not previous generations like, oh, secret and you'll find out E3. No, time has changed, man. Streaming, YouTube, social media has changed the gaming industry forever. So might as well just be open and just let it out, man. Just hype us up. Yep. I'm excited. I'm excited for all the consoles, for PlayStation and Xbox. I'm more excited for Xbox because they're being super open. But I'm super really curious to hear what Sony has to say about what they've been working on. I didn't know anything about this controller until you guys mentioned it now. So it's cool to see that. You know, and I'm excited to hear like the launch titles and all that, man. You know, and the price. hopefully it's the right price for me. I could buy both consoles. If not, I'll buy one, man.
I got a feeling, you know, I think series, especially after what Phil was saying on IGN Unlocked, $499 max for Series X. They'll figure it out. But I do still think there's a possibility that PlayStation 4 could be $399. I think $449 is what it probably will be, but I could see them hitting $399 and shocking everyone. And then that's just going to put the pressure on Xbox again, competition. Then that puts pressure on Xbox. You know what I'm saying? Man. So I'm looking forward to it. See what it's going to be.
If Sony is smart, I think they go low regardless of whether they take a hit from a cost perspective, simply because I think they need, they've gotten so much, I don't want to say bad publicity, but not optimal publicity over the last 2 or 3 months, that I think that they'll go low to overwhelm the sales numbers once again. They already know they have the back catalog.
Yep.
That's all they need. That's all they really need to bring to the table. And people will just flock in droves. And unfortunately, forcing Microsoft to maybe change their stance from a cost perspective.
Yep. But, you know, like Phil said, they have the price in their head that they want to come mm-hmm. with. But depending on what PlayStation says, he got it all the way from the top. Satya Nadella, they can be flexible.
It's fluid. It's a dynamic situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would not be surprised if they said five, let's say Phil comes out and says somewhere between $549 or $599 for Xbox Series X, and Sony comes out and says PlayStation 5 will be $499. Do not be surprised if Microsoft comes out and says, we've listened to the customers, we've listened to everybody, and they either price match or they go just a smidge below.
And you just nailed it, because that's what I was thinking. No matter what they come out and say, because they're going to say the price in June, this thing, they're going to say the price. So then if PlayStation undercuts them by more than $50, then exactly what you said, we've listened to feedback, Xbox Series X is now literally, at most it'll be $50 more than whatever PlayStation 5 is. But if they really want to go for the jugular, you price match. I don't think they can price match at $399, but I think they could. They could maybe at $450. $499, like I said, makes more sense for what I think it's going to be. So we'll see.
But here's one thing we haven't even talked about, is that that program that they're going to have where people could pay like monthly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To get the console for a cheaper price, and you have it there, and you pay like what, $25-$30 a month or something like that, plus you have Xbox Live, Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, and also add their Project X Cloud, who knows, like I think that's good too, man, you know. So there's gonna be a lot of options, plus who knows, Lockhart, who knows.
Let's say this real quick before we get out of here with Lockhart. I've said before in GTR, to me, Lockhart is irrelevant in this discussion, because no one that is considering a PlayStation 5 is going to go, well, I could get Lockhart. It's the same price, or $50 cheaper. And yeah, it doesn't do 4K, and it doesn't do this, and it doesn't do that. I'm going to get that. No, they're going to compare it to whatever the Series X is. To me, those are the two. The Lockhart, this is why it's curious now that they're saying that they're selling out of Xbox One X inventory now, like they've reduced the price and getting rid of it. Cause originally I think we all agreed, we didn't think Lockhart was going to be this year, but if Lockhart is this year, I'm fascinated to see how it's marketed. Cause I can see a year from now, them being able to come out with Lockhart, low cost option, blah, 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 blah. But if it were to launch day and date with the Series X, I'll be fascinated to see how they tell that story.
You know, it'll be crazy if they promote in a way you go to the Microsoft store and trade in your Xbox One X and you pay for like a really cheaper price just to get Lockhart. I think that's another way for them to promote it too, man. That's like a trade in thing. They've done that before like that in the past for
my Xbox argument. One. But see, here's my argument to you. Why am I getting Lockhart if I have a 1X? They're virtually the same thing, except it sounds like Lockhart's going to have a faster CPU and it's going to have an SSD that'll be on par with the Series X. Again, if rumors are true, but at the end of the day, the 1X is going to have Halo Infinite 4K too. So why the hell am I spending more money on that? I might as well wait till I can afford a Series X.
Look, I'm just coming up with a theory.
Hey, I'm just telling you, this is why this is. Look,
I'm not trying to argue here.
No, I know you're not trying to argue, but again, this is why I'm trying to say the messaging that they would have to do, because they clearly aren't promoting Lockhart to someone that already has a 1X, because I don't think you can justify it, right? The justification is to try and get someone to go from a 1X to a Series X, or Or if you're, you know, obviously maybe if you're on the original, the freaking microwave one, maybe you could justify it that way somehow. But I do like what you said as far as them doing some kind of trade-in program, potentially like at the Microsoft store or something like that, to be as an incentive, especially since GameStop's are starting to become a freaking dinosaur and go away. You know, you're not going to have those anymore. So maybe Microsoft can do it themselves. I don't know. Again, I'm absolutely fascinated by this console launch this year because there's so many unknowns. We just don't know.
Now, here's one thing I have to say, because look, I had a 4K TV. It's in Miami. I don't have it with me here. So why should I, because I don't have a 4K here when I'm looking. So why should I get a Series X if I don't have a 4K TV? Like, I have my Xbox One X. I have my, you know, TV there. It's not 4K, but I'm still playing it, still enjoying it. Why should I buy a Series X?
Okay.
That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people. And I think the majority of the people are in my case right now. Like, they don't have a 4K TV. So the only options, maybe they'll buy one during the holidays, you know, Black Friday. But right now, they don't have it. Why should they just buy a Series X?
You just answered your own question. You literally just answered your own question, because you could probably go out at Black Friday and go get a 4K TV for dirt cheap. That's why.
But you haven't let me finish this part. Maybe they want to buy the console first, and maybe in the future they'll buy a TV after, like sometime next year.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
But at least they only have one option: buy a 4K TV.
Okay. That's fine. That's fine. Why are you buying Lockhart? Keep your 1S.
I don't have a 1S. I have
an X. You don't have an Xbox at all.
No, what are you talking about?
Yeah, he has a 1S.
No, you're the one doing the what ifs. I'm trying to tell you, if you already have a 1X or a 1S and you don't care about 4K, then why the hell are you buying Lockhart? What are you getting out of it?
I'm not buying Lockhart. What are you talking about? I'm not buying Lockhart.
Okay, folks. Now y'all see what our private chats are like. This is our private chat. Okay, go ahead.
But look, the only reason for me, the only reason why would I buy right now at this moment, I'll buy a Series X is because of the speed and loading and a couple features that I can't do on Xbox One X. That's the only thing. What I'm saying, I'm just having a conversation. Like, I'm pointing out there's people like me that probably have that same situation. Like,
okay,
they have to decide. So me, I'm just saying, if I buy a Series X, that's the only reason I'll buy it, is because of the loading. But I could still play Halo Infinite, and I could buy a Series X sometime early next year.
You're answering your own question, though. This is exactly my point.
I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about
I'm not talking about you either. I'm talking about Joe Gamer. I'm not talking about you. If I'm Joe Gamer and I already have a 1S or 1X, I don't care about 4K. I can still play Halo Infinite. Why in the frick would I go buy Lockhart?
The only reason Xbox, let's say this is whole Lockhart is true. The only reason they're doing this whole Lockhart thing is because if the Series X is going to be expensive, that's like an option. Hey, it's a cheaper version and better than Xbox One X. Like, that's the only reason. If I'm going to upgrade, I'm going to upgrade to the Series X. I'm not, like, I could care less about Lockhart.
Okay, but take yourself out of it. I'm not talking about you. And this has been my argument for the past couple months. People get mad at me on Twitter.
Yeah.
I'm just Joe Gamer, and I already have my Xbox One X, right? I got Game Pass. I'm already playing my games on it. And Series X is $600. Again, this is pretend. It's $600. And then they come out with Lockhart and say it's $400, but it doesn't do 4K. It's 1440p. It's 1080p. It has the faster loading times, right? But that's it. Why would I want to go spend $400 on a system that its only real advantage over my current system is the fact that it loads the games faster? That's what I'm asking you. Because again, I don't care about 4K and all that. You just said I didn't care about that, right? So all those Series X games are still going to be on the One X. I can still play them on there. They've already made that crystal clear. I just don't have the faster loading times. Why am I spending $400 at that point? That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm saying, if Lockhart comes out this year, what's the point of it? Who is that being marketed towards? That's what I'm saying. Because again, if I don't own an Xbox already and I'm a PlayStation guy, hey, middle finger to you, Microsoft. I'm not buying your Lockhart. I want a Series X. But you made it too expensive, so I'll stick with my PlayStation. That's what I'm saying. So
Yeah. You know, I know a lot of people that have the S and they just couldn't afford the X.
And that's fine.
That's the only reason why would they buy a Lockhart, because the car can't afford.
But I argue the same point with the 1S. It doesn't matter. Because mm-hmm. you just said I didn't care about 4K, right? So what do I need Lockhart for? I already have a 1S that plays Halo Infinite. It plays mm-hmm. Cyberpunk 2077. So what do I care?
Look, man, I know people from my family, they have the original Xbox still.
Yeah.
The Xbox One. So it's like they really don't care. As long as they play, like, that's it.
Room. I'm needing to cut you off. Chat room. If I'm the guy that we're just talking about right now, I could give two shits about 60 frames per second. That is not going to be enough to make me going to go drop $400 on Lockhart at yep. 1080p or 1440p. Not doing it. This is my point.
There's zero cause to make a consumer run out and spend the extra money yeah. for something that is not going to be such a significant change. Now, if you're maybe on this Xbox One, your original Xbox One, the microwave, or if God help you, you're still on the Xbox 360, maybe. Then I can see giving you reason to jump. But if you already have an Xbox One X or an Xbox One S, there is no super compelling reason outside of brand loyalty to go get it.
Yeah. And that's my only point on it at launch. I'm just talking at launch. I'm not saying a year from now, because I can understand them then trying to introduce a secondary lower cost console. But mm-hmm. for your hard, because again, your hardcore are the ones that are running out day one to try and go get this stuff. Right. And what I'm saying is, Lockhart does not appeal to a hardcore gamer at all. Why? I don't get it. I would just stick with what I have, because you've already told me I can play all your new games on it for the first year. Anyways, I would wait it out until the Series X costs less. And then I would just go get that. Why am I getting Lockhart? Because I'm telling you what would happen. If I did go get Lockhart now, 2 years from now, I'm pissed off because now I got to go get the Series X.
Hmm. So this is all based on the rumors, not.
Yeah, this is all rumor. This is all rumor. Yeah. This is quarantine talk. That's all it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it honestly, like, I mean, the only reason anybody would upgrade by the time next year is because there's going to be games that's only going to be available at Lockhart and Series X, and that's it. You know, that's the only reason why I think people will upgrade next year for sure. But now, like, Even the PlayStation 5, like, people can still wait until there's like the right software that's gonna hype you up that you just want to play. But look, the only difference with Xbox is I could play Halo Infinite still with the old consoles, still, you know. So now, but once they start announcing games that is only available for Lockhart and Series X, then now we're changing the conversation. Now we're like, okay, now I'm upgrading.
Yeah.
Who cares less if it's weaker or not?
But I guess we're saying all this to say, just going by what Phil Spencer was saying, just listening to him on IGN last mm-hmm. week, they know yeah. all this. They already know all this. And you don't build the most powerful console and put all, because the thing's a monster. If you look at what it is an absolute monster. Games on that thing are going to be amazing, right? You don't build that and overprice it. And price it out of your market. You want to keep it within range that even someone that isn't a hardcore person is at least going to consider wanting to pick it up. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he had the backing from Satya Nadella on pricing says to me they're willing to take a loss. He went in depth about how the long term game is to make profit by selling games, not by selling hardware, you know, by making a profit on the hardware. So it sounds to me like they're willing to take a loss on this thing. So
now my question to you, because you were the one that watched this first and me and Pete, mm-hmm. my question to you, do you think that was a smart thing for Phil to do, to say that? So just business wise, Sony seeing that as that competition, do you think that was smart? Because now Sony is like, wait a minute, should we even announce our price? Because what Phil said, or do you think it was smart for them for him to say or no?
I think it's fine, because I think what Pete said earlier is exactly what they can do. Again, you don't go in scared. You go in being confident, right? You get on that stage with confidence. I ain't worrying about what PlayStation is saying. Here's our Series X. Here's our games. Here's our price. Now, if Sony reacts to that and comes in significantly cheaper than you, then, like Pete said, you can once again get up on a stage and say, you know what? We listen to you guys. We want Xbox to be a success. We're making the price of this now. Done. They win either way in that scenario because they came out in confidence. They listened then. If it was too much, we listened to our community. We listened to the community. We saw the competition. We realized to be competitive in this market, we need to be priced this. So we're lowering the price today accordingly. If you already pre-ordered it, you don't need to do anything. Done.
If they would have done something like that before on other announcements, like come out and say, hey, yep, we were wrong. So we're gonna pivot. We're going to change price to X or this, or we're going to change this because we listen. The narrative on Microsoft would have been much more different than it is today.
Yeah.
But you know what's the sad part? I think people are still going to compare it to 2013 if they do that.
No, because yes and no. Yes, if they have the same arrogant messaging that they had in 2013, then you're right. But if they come again, like you said, they've been so transparent since December that it's very clear they're going to come in and say, look, you already know what it is. Here's the games lineup. Here's what we think the price should be. We don't know what Sony's going to do, but I also think that I don't think Phil comes out and says $600 no matter what. This is why I keep saying $499. I think they come in at $499 because that's a fair, reasonable price for what they're giving you. You can make that argument on a stage and people will accept it. But again, if Sony were to come in and say, well, we're $399, now all of a sudden, hold up, we're $100 cheaper again. We're repeating 2013 again. We got to lower the price by at least $50, I think. But that's just me. That's just me as a consumer. That's how I would look at it. As
you know, how much do you think? Okay, do you think they will match it? Just exactly match it?
I can't see it at $399. That's asking a lot. That would be insane.
That's a lot of money for them. But I could see them putting that off just because of those services. Because they're getting.
But remember, they don't make. Somewhere. They've never made money on. It's always been Xbox Live. It's always been the service that is the moneymaker for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why change that now just to try and make money? They've always lost money on consoles. So why now would they be like, oh, well, now we're going to make money? You know, now why they obviously? Why would they pivot from that direction and ethos and say, oh, well, now you know we're going to start making money on hardware? No, you stick to what's always worked. You sell it even at a loss because you know you're going to make that up in spades on the back end through services.
Then they only had Xbox Live. That was the only extra income they could get, right? But now Xbox Live, Game Pass, xCloud, games or whatever, like now there's a lot more compared to back then. So that's why I can say that I can see them doing it, man. Just F it as a loss. $100 or whatever, $399, just I can see that.
Remember, now he also says something else interesting, which I don't think people are taking into the consideration of this whole price flexibility is like the optical port they took out, right? And you know, people are like, why'd you do that? But then he was explaining, he was like, look, yeah, that might be like a $2 thing here now per unit. But when you add that up over millions and millions of units, he goes, he used the number of like, he said, that's a $200 million difference right there. So imagine them saving $200 million to now say, hey, we can reinvest to kind of offset the cost of us lowering the price of this thing. You know, you just got to look at it that way. Not necessarily saying that's what they're doing, but if they can cut corners on certain things that their statistics are showing that people aren't using, like they don't have the second HDMI port now. They don't do HDMI in anymore. Again, they're saving money on that by doing that. And maybe that goes into them trying to get this thing to be as low cost as they possibly can make it. I don't know. You're just trying to see because it's very clear PlayStation 5 ain't going to be over $450. No way.
No
way. So they can't be $100 more. They can't. They cannot do that. Or it's a huge mistake all over again.
Yeah, because I mean, what was the rumor that Sony is waiting to hear Microsoft's price for the next console? I mean, I think, they can't go over that, man. That is true.
Because
it would
look
really bad on Sony if they do that. Because
again, remember the rumors that came out a few months ago. Sony is doing everything they possibly can to get that thing at $399. So, if they pull it off, if it's because the thing, $399 has worked for the past 7 years. So if they get that thing to $399 again, I mean they're staying consistent. They keep putting out the games that people can expect. They're the leaders. I mean, they're the leaders anyways, in my opinion, unless they just do something monumentally stupid right now. Xbox is the one that's in second place, really third place, honestly, behind the Switch. But they're the ones that have to prove it. I like the direction they're going, but still, let's put it this way, Danny, and I know you don't 100% agree with me on this. Xbox One has been out 7 years. There's not one memorable, oh my God, game-changing game that I've played on an Xbox exclusive in 7 years. The closest to me, you could argue Cuphead or Ori. And the fact that we're saying Cuphead or Ori and not a Gears or a Halo or a Forza or something like that says a lot. But that's me. I know you do, but that's me. I'm just saying me. Yeah. But that's just me.
I think to me, for this generation, the latest Forza Horizon, I think that was a game changer for racing games, in my opinion.
But
and I love racing games.
And I'll argue this. I know that's you, but I'll argue this.
But did it sell consoles?
And that's my point. That's my point.
I tell you this, it sold a lot of Game Pass, I think, in my opinion. Remember, that game came out during Game Pass, like the early days of Game Pass, too. So, it had a lot of people playing it, man. Look, I know it's not your thing, whatever, but it's
you just said that it sold a lot of Game Pass subs, but then you just said in your opinion.
No, my opinion about the game changer of like out of the whole Xbox generation, that's the only game to me that highlighted more than Gears than Halo than anything, in my opinion, because I feel like there was a major change for the series. Like, there was not a major change with like Halo or Gears. Like, I feel like Gears is really good. It made some minor changes. I'm like, oh, it was awesome for like the series, right? But I think there was like a bigger, major change with Forza and just racing games in general. The way how they even better than Forza Motorsport.
Again, I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just going to say, in my opinion, I disagree.
I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just saying I'm not wrong.
No. What I'm saying is this, and again, my opinion, because I don't know the stats. I haven't seen the stats, so I can't say this is fact or fiction. Mm-hmm. Racing traditionally hasn't been a huge system seller is kind of my point. So I personally don't think that Forza like pushed this huge uptick in Game Pass subs. I don't believe that. Because I mean, even look at PlayStation, look in the heyday of Gran Turismo was probably in its heyday, the closest that we've ever gotten to system selling, you know, being a racing thing. Forza's never been that. I mean, Forza obviously has been good. Yes, I agree. But come on, system seller? No, I don't see it at all. And I don't disagree that Forza Horizon is not amazing. It is. But I'm just saying, as far as that being the thing that Xbox can plant their flag on and say, see, here's our big thing that we've done the past 7 years. It probably is, but I don't think its impact has been big is kind of my point.
It's gotten way more awards than any other racing game.
But how many people, but it has not translated to sales. And that's what I'm trying to say.
But see, Paris, we don't actually know because we have the numbers, but there's a reason why Xbox is still investing on Forza series still to this day.
Cause it's a great IP. It's a great IP. It is the leading racing franchise. I'm not arguing that, but that's what I'm saying. As a genre, I don't think racing is that big. It's kind of like fighting games. I don't think fighting games is a huge genre. I don't think fighting games is something that's going to get someone to go run out and buy a console, but it has its audience, but it's not huge. The things that sell, let's just be real. You know what sells? Shooters. Sell.
No, that's
Call
that's,
of Duty that's sells. Sure. That's what sells. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Xbox doesn't have that. Not exclusive to them anyways. I guess that's my point, because the one thing that they did have that would have was a system seller was Halo. And let's just be real. They fucked that up. They fucked up Halo. They did. They'll tell you that. They know they did. That's why it's been 5 years since we've had a Halo game from them, because they screwed it up and they got to get it right. Because if they screw up Halo Infinite, Halo is no longer a relevant IP. That's just facts.
You know what? One thing that Paris said to me the other day, he said, if Halo 4 would have come out for Xbox One,
and I'll die on that hill.
Different conversation.
Yep. I'll die on that hill. Cause I truly believe that.
So Paris said, if Halo 4 would have come out for launch for Xbox One, we would have a different conversation. I don't think so, because I think still Xbox still would have that the messaging still wrong. The price would have still more expensive than the PlayStation. Mm-hmm. I think still people would have bought a PlayStation 4 because of the mistakes that Xbox made, even with the launch of Halo 4 for Xbox One, let's just say.
Now, can I retort before Pete, you give your 2 cents and you be the judge on this? Here's my retort.
Yeah.
They could have had the same bad messaging. They still got to have that stupid camera in there, $100 difference, the whole thing. But here's what they would have had. We wouldn't have had Master Chief for 7 years. Master Chief would have returned after a 7 year absence. And Halo 4, I personally liked it. I thought the campaign was fine. It wasn't perfect, but it wasn't bad either. You would have launched that Xbox One with the power of Master Chief behind it, when Master Chief was still a huge system selling IP. Guess what? I'm spending $500 to go get an Xbox One because I want to play Halo 4. That's what I'm saying. I felt like the heart grows fonder when you miss someone, right? We would have truly been missing Master Chief by that point. By 2013, we wouldn't have seen him since 2007. So we would have really missed him. So, yeah, I do think Halo 4 changes the conversation. I'm not saying that Xbox ultimately wins the generation just because of that one thing. I just think the first year of Xbox One, which is what really screwed them, would not have been the disaster that it was, because you would have had a relevant game that people wanted to play, at launch. And then guess what? You would have followed that up in the spring with Titanfall. That could have sustained them to then figure out their messaging a little bit better and clean it up a lot more than what it was. Now, again, all revision is history, because guess what? In that scenario, Don Metric is still the head of Xbox and not Phil Spencer. So ultimately, yeah, maybe I am wrong. But I just don't think the launch of the Xbox One would have been a disaster if Halo 4 was a part of it. That's all I'm saying.
Your thoughts, Pete?
Quarantine talk. I love it.
I see valid points on both sides. I think that 4 was a better Halo than 5.
We all agree on that one. That's for sure. Yeah.
I just don't know if 4 launching would have changed the narrative. I don't think, I still think Microsoft still goes, and I don't want to say on a down, goes down, down the tube, but it still hits that downward spiral, because outside of Halo 4, what else did they have? You know what I mean? So maybe Matrix still gets Das Boot, for failing the brand as a whole. And who knows if we do or don't get Phil Spencer as a result, right? Maybe it just pushes it off. Maybe pushes it off by 6 months. Like you said, it gives Master Chief and Halo 4 a chance to come out amid all this great glory, followed up by Titanfall. And then things are good for the first 12 months. Maybe that was enough to push Phil to a different direction. And now Xbox doesn't have Phil. So I don't know if it actually, if you push, it's kind of, I'm kind of thinking in Flashpoint Paradox right now from DC Comics,
right?
So now shifted everything by 12 months. Does Phil go elsewhere because he wasn't, they didn't get rid of Matrix, fast enough for him to come in and take over. And now Microsoft is behind the eight ball by 12 months, got rid of Matrix, but doesn't have someone that's got the cloth of Phil Spencer to write the ship. And maybe it just ruins it, even, and maybe just, you know, that just sends it down the spiral even worse.
Yeah. And it's like, we're actually talking this out now. I definitely see that point. And I have to take it off. Somebody been texting me.
It's also almost 1 o'clock yeah. a.m. here in the morning.
But, I'll just say this really quick. Like, you bring up Flashpoint. That's a good analogy to bring into this, because it is amazing to think. I think we all three of us can agree that one game completely changes the conversation that we would have been having back then. But right, long term,
it just pushes it out by exactly. Six to eight months.
So like you're saying, the repercussions from that. Certain people at Xbox, maybe they leave now, you know, maybe there is no Game Pass. Maybe they do try to tough it out with Kinect longer than they should. You know, maybe they kept the price too high too long. There's definitely repercussions to that, you know, by changing just that one thing, dropping it into that launch. I do think completely changes the conversation. And yeah, maybe we're sitting here right now going, dude, Xbox is a freaking disaster. What the hell were they doing? Yeah, you know? Yeah. So yeah, I agree.
Now, Now, my question to you, Paris, before you leave, remember that day that we were at the PlayStation press conference when they said $399? Imagine Halo 4 was announced, everything for Xbox One, you pre-order it at the Xbox press conference. Would you have, hearing the $399, knowing that Halo 4 was coming out, at that moment, would you said the same exact thing to me? Like last time that you were like, no. That's it. I'm not gonna pre-order Xbox One.
But that's actually the great thing. That is the exact point that I'm making. If Halo 4 would have been a part of the Xbox One at $499, I would have been like, ooh, $100 more. But you know what? I gotta play Halo. That's what I would have said. That's what I would have said. I would have been like, really? I would have said it's the $100 Halo tax and I'm paying it. That's what I would have said.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Because, yo, let me tell you, that $399 announcement, that was a very, like,
but Danny, think about what you're saying. You're basically telling me, so you don't want to play Halo when it comes out. That's what you're telling me.
It's not that, Paris. At that moment, Paris, kids. I remember you were like, oh, $499, $399. Let me go $399. Like, a lot of people left Xbox knowing all these games that came out for 360 and then went straight to PlayStation.
But that's my point. Again, this is why it comes back down to games. Neither one of them had an amazing game at launch.
Oh, no, no. No
Xbox
no, no, no.
would have had an amazing game at launch. I would have looked at you dead in the face and was like, $499. I would have said it because I had to play Halo. I had to play it because leading up to think about it, we're talking Master Chief Halo. So again, some of my greatest gaming moments ever. Cause you know, I was just on Twitter. I showed you, I still have my limited edition Halo 2, bin, right? Like mint condition. People were tripping out when I was showing that, because that's how much that franchise had meant to me over those years. Halo 3, dude, I went to the freaking launch in Seattle, met Bill Gates, the whole thing. So now Halo 4 is coming out and I'm about to turn my back on it. I'm not doing that. I'm playing Halo 4. This is what I'm saying. $499. Team $499. I'd have been on GTR, be like, look, I know it's $100 more, but just spend it. We just get it.
You know what it is, Paris? Why I'm mentioning this? Because I was listening to an episode that just came out 7 years ago today. Paris just joined GTR, and at that time, everybody was talking about Xbox One always online, and the messaging started like around there, like being bad, and Xbox was just getting so much bad press. I think even if Halo 4 were to come out at that time, I think people will still be on Xbox, man. I think...
Not me. Not me. Hey, I've been riding the Emerald Stallion with my Master Chief helmet on. I've been like, yeehaw, let's go.
This is coming from someone who's like, oh, you know, Xbox because of 360. Like, but even me, I was like, I don't know, man. I really don't like this messaging crap, man. Like, I don't like the way how Don Matrick been changing things. I don't know, man. I'm just keeping it real. Like, just listening to the audio.
This is where Danny, and I got to go. I have to go. But this is where you sound like a hypocrite. Because you, listen.
Yeah.
You were not doing that back in 2013. I sent a letter to Bob Matrick. No, listen. We can pull the tape.
Yeah.
You were defending the $4.99 price back then. You were.
I didn't say no. Paris, I didn't say no, but at the same time, there's videos of me saying, damn, there's videos of me talking with Patrick and Mandy and Phoenix. Like, I was like disappointed. I'm like, oh man, at E3, like leaving the press conference and even going to the hotel, like disappointed. But I'm like, you know what? You know, 360 was good. Let me get $4.99. Like,
that's my point. That's what I'm saying.
And I can still put up the tapes. Like, I was disappointed as hell.
No, you
but
were.
I'm talking about you canceling your pre-order. It's, I don't know. I think you still would have done that, I think, in my opinion.
Whoa. Yeah. You still think I would have done that? When I literally just laid out to you how much Halo has meant to me. Halo 4 is there. I'm spending $4.99 getting it. I'm just telling you this right now. I know me. I would have justified it in my head. It's just like how I justified in 1999 that The Phantom Menace was actually a good movie because it was Star Wars. And it was the first Star Wars we had since 1983. Something's got to be wrong with me because this has to be amazing, right? I would have said the same damn thing with Halo because I got to play Halo. I had to do it. I'm just telling you.
Look, man, we're just having a conversation. We're talking. I'm just coming over with theory. You gotta listen to the audio. Like, I'll forward to you so you can listen to it, man.
I don't need to listen to the audio. I'm telling you, I would spend $4.99 for Halo 4.
Average, I'm not talking about the $4.99. This is before $4.99 and $3.99. It was before that. It was more of like always online and all this shit. Like, yeah, you gotta listen to it. Even though your mic sucked at that time too, you were using your headset. But.
Hey, a lot changes in 7 years. That's all I'm saying. Okay.
Yeah, it's
I was retired back then. I didn't know what I was doing. Right?
Yeah. Hey, look. I came up with this question. People are laughing in the chat. Hey, it's a great conversation.
If I wasn't here, it would have been a different conversation. Six Emerald Stallions pulling the Xbox stagecoach. That's the next image that we need.
Oh, yes, God. We do. Someone clip this and put it on Twitter. I'll retweet it. Someone clip that and put it on Twitter. Yeah, we need the stagecoach, the Emerald Stagecoach. Let's do it. But dude, all I'm saying, and I'm gonna go. I promise. But I'm just saying, I like how we talked it out. And yeah, it probably would have really screwed up stuff if Halo 4 would have launched with the Xbox One. But I'm telling you, I would have bought an Xbox One for $4.99 with a straight face because I wanted to play Halo. Because it's about the games, dude. And that would have been a major game that I had to play. That's all I'm saying.
Quarantine Ridiculous. Talk. Let's go.
Yeah, quarantine talk.
Let's go. Yeah,
enough
of this Team Paris and Team Dan. I could care. I'm not.
Hey, you know what? You care because you just brought it up. I got to go. No, so I the stream's right ending. Now. I'm the captain. We're out.
Punk.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
Yeah, that was Quarantine Talk. Make sure to hit us up. Let me know what you think about the whole thing. And thank you for listening, man. So until next time, we'll see you this Thursday here on Gamer Tag Radio.
Thanks for listening to Gamer Tag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.